Welcome to Two Guys and a Question, where Danny Jefferson and Alan Creedy challenge conventional thinking by fielding questions for more than 1,000 subscribers, all in less than 12 minutes an episode.
This is Alan Creedy.
And this is Danny Jefferson.
And this is Two Guys and a Question, and we got a special today. We've got a special question, and we have invited our friend Cody Jones of Callaway Jones down in College Station in Bryan, Texas, to join us. And just a little puff piece for Cody. He's a real go-getter, but also I think he has built the funeral home of the future down there in College Station and has already seen the results. We'll do a podcast someday on that itself. But let's get into the question. Our original question was, how do funeral homes keep employees on the right track, which is code for good employees, when they are in such demand elsewhere? And I've kind of rephrased that as, how do you find and keep good employees? So, Cody, has this been a challenge for you?
First, guys, Danny and Alan, thank you for having me on your podcast today. It's an honor to be here. Hiring in today's climate is definitely a challenge. I think it's a challenge for most owners and managers out there. The profession as a whole has a shortage of qualified directors. And most talented directors are already employed somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely they are.
There's several challenges to overcome. You have to overcome, you have to find the candidates. You've got to get them to respond to you. You've got to get an interview scheduled. You've got to get them to accept your offer over the others that they've received. And believe me, if they're interviewing with you, then they're interviewing with others as well.
That's a great point. So have you found anything that might be more effective than other things?
I have it. For the last two hires, I used a recruiting service. Before that, I was advertising on Indeed and even reaching out personally myself to potential candidates through LinkedIn. But I found that, the recruiters cost money, but they also have the resources to play matchmaker. Most qualified candidates have their own goals and criteria for accepting an offer, and many funeral homes are searching for a specific type of candidate to fill a role, and the recruiter can kind of save you time by making those matches and putting you guys together.
So I think that, if I remember correctly, that the fee is something like 30% of the first year's salary, something like that?
Some of them do charge as high as 30%, but I feel like it's a negotiation.
That's true. That's exactly right. I mean,
you're going to sign a contract with them, and so you can negotiate that contract. But at the same time, you want them to have some skin in the game and find you that right person. So what is that worth to you?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. I asked somebody some time ago who was complaining about how much they were having to pay, what they would pay for somebody who could relieve them of some of their own personal stress. And I thought their response was interesting. Anything was the answer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the past, I've made mistakes in hiring just to fill a role, right? I mean, you're really busy. You're understaffed and overwhelmed. Your current employees are feeling the heat, and you interview two candidates and just hire the better out of those two, because you found two and you interviewed two, and so you're going to pick one. And all you're doing there is just filling a gap, and it's not going to work out long term, and it possibly sets you back even further.
So our questioner has asked about good employees. How would you define a good employee? What are you looking for?
I look for someone that just truly understands the nature of our profession and what's required to offer the premier service to the families in our community. We have a high standard. And when I say nature of our business, I mean someone who really understands that it's not just an 8-to-5 job, that it may require some additional time in order to be the best that we can be for the families that entrust their loved ones to us. I want someone that's going to be able to thrive within our mission and our processes, someone who fits into the core values of our company, So, those are all things that make a good employee. I mean, we all want someone loyal and someone who is creative and detail-oriented. I mean, I think everyone would say that, but someone who just truly understands the nature of our profession and what's required is important to me.
So what I just heard you say is that you have a very clear vision of expectations and standards for the people who are associated with your firm. And yet I know that the vast majority of people who are looking for employees don't have that vision. They just want somebody who's breathing. So did you find it an advantage to your recruiting to have that clearly articulated vision?
Absolutely. Well, I go back to the mistakes I've made in hiring in the past. I mean, that's a learning experience. And I really had to dial in, why am I just hiring just to hire? Why don't I figure out exactly what we're looking for, who we're looking for, what type of person we would like to have, and create the interviewing process around that.
Cody, to clarify for our listeners, we are talking about licensed personnel right now. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'm speaking of funeral directors license specifically.
All right. Do you look more for a funeral director or embalmer or both?
Well, that's going to depend definitely on the hiring needs of the company and even the state that they're in. I do have licensed directors who are dual license, so they have both. At the same time, we also a majority of the time use a contract embalmer as well, so that our directors can stay focused on the day-to-day and the families.
That's an important point. I find when people like you have an advantage in recruiting in that they are putting some level of emphasis on work-life balance, which I think annoys a lot of traditional funeral directors.
Well, yeah, work-life balance is important. I mean, the owner has a life outside of the funeral home, but that doesn't mean no one else does.
Yeah.
When you are hiring for support team, do you find that easier to find the right people there?
Support team being the contract workers?
Or part-time staff, too, or funeral workers, or anybody on your team.
I think you're going to have definitely more applicants. You can put an ad out for that, and without using a recruiter, and you're going to receive a lot of applicants. At least in our market, we do. So I have a pretty good amount of candidates to interview and choose from.
How much training, ongoing regular training, are you doing with your staff?
Well, it's a great question. We actually have a quick team meeting every single morning for 5 to 10 minutes where we review what happened overnight. We review the events that are scheduled for that day and the next 2 days, and what tasks need to be completed for those events to come off successfully. But we try and get our directors for a training at least once every 3 or 4 weeks. Same thing with office staff. But we learn as we go. Like anything else, you learn on the job in the day to day. We'll do some for a new candidate. We'll train for a few days, but then hopefully the candidate is someone we've hired that is a quick learner.
Do you debrief periodically? In other words, you talk about funerals that went well, funerals that didn't go well.
Absolutely. When the feedback comes in, we review our positive feedback and our negative feedback so everyone can know what is working and what's successful, and we can pick up the pieces where we fell short. We use a program, an inter-office messaging program called Slack, and within the Slack we have a channel for kudos, and anytime we receive a thank you or a thank you card or just a phone call or a hug or something, all the employees have access to that channel, and they can message what the kudos were, and everyone can see that, and we share it.
Cody, kudos to you for putting at least one of those on Facebook recently. I keep up with your location, and I have, partly because you're setting a standard. And we will give the website address at the end of this podcast. But that kudos that you put out there, did you ask permission, or is that something that's part of that?
Sometimes we ask permission and sometimes we don't. Our feedback form does ask if we are allowed to use your comments in public marketing, and if they give that permission, of course we can go ahead. Sometimes it might be a personal or a close friend of an employee of ours, and we know that it's okay to share that information.
And the reason I ask that question is what you just said. If an employee gets praise from a family and you add that to showing the community that that employee is being praised, that's good. That's good, smart leadership on your part.
So, Cody, would you say your turnover is average for the profession, better than average, worse than average?
I would say we're better than average. We've certainly are not. We certainly have had turnover, and it kind of goes back to probably my own fault of the hiring mistake. I mean, there's a reason that people leave for a variety of reasons. Maybe they want to work or move closer to family or back closer to where they're from. Maybe they want a different pace of work where they're currently working at a super high volume firm that might be understaffed and they want to move to a slower pace culture. Or it could be the opposite, where they've become bored where they are and feel like they can't grow where they're currently working. Maybe they don't get along with their boss or with another coworker, or they don't feel valued by management.
Okay.
Yeah. So, one of our part-time employees told me that how much they appreciate me coming out into the lobby and the public areas at the beginning of a service or visitation, because that made them feel like they aren't just there to show up and make me money. I mean, those were the exact words that they told me. So it made me really think, hey, they feel valued if I'm out there with them.
Okay, so that was leading me right into the next portion, was how do you keep good employees? And one of the things that I learned years ago, and I'm not going to go into the whole recitation right now, I'll respond to what you just shared. There are things that drive employees away, and there are things that cause employees to be motivated to stay. And interestingly enough, money can drive people away. In other words, if they're underpaid, that can be a problem. But money will not keep them. Money is not, especially in funeral service, if they're fairly paid, then that becomes a non-issue. But what does become an issue is feeling valued. People want to know exactly what's expected of them, which your clarity of vision relative to expectations gives them. People want to know that they're appreciated. People want to interact with the boss on a positive level. So those are things that actually keep people staying, as opposed to wanting to leave. You can overpay somebody, and it won't. It actually will be a negative in some instances.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, every employee needs to feel valued. Of course, I mean, salary is important. And I mean, at some point, a licensed director, if they're not going into management or not interested in going into management, at some point, a licensed director is, I mean, they're only going to have a salary of so much. And so, I mean, if you're a funeral home offering a salary to someone and they're already making that salary somewhere else, you need to be able to differentiate what your company is going to do differently or offer or what you can offer differently than the current company that they're working for.
Go ahead, please finish.
Well, Alan, I was just going to say, I think one of the most important details that gets overlooked is making sure that the owner or manager is present. I mean, when staff sees that the supervisor is there and they're involved and they care, the employees are just more likely to buy in. I mean, I could certainly not show up to my funeral home, but 1 or 2 days a week. But that's when everything kind of starts to unravel. If you're not there, people and employees don't buy in as much.
You know, you remind me of a short story on that point. Early in my career, I worked for a company that had investments in a lot of different small companies. And we had a printing company, and the printing company had a crisis. And it was literally all hands on deck. So at 9 o'clock at night, I and a number of other executives were in the back room collating things, collating booklets for the printing company so we could get caught up. And the guy that owned the company was very, very wealthy, probably ranked in the top 1% of people in Illinois. That was where the company was located. And he showed up that night at 7 o'clock with pizza and beer for everybody. And then he started collating books with us. And I to this day, that was one of the most impressive things that I've ever experienced. While Ox was in the ditch, the owner was there. So that means a lot to people.
Yeah, and it creates a culture where they're happy to show up and work for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything that you see that our profession can do that would address the crisis that we're facing?
I'm not sure that there's a quick solution. Different states require different licenses or certificates for different roles. Some of these requirements are without question outdated for today's profession. Licensing requirements, I think, is something that needs to be reviewed and most likely changed for certain roles. But that takes time, and it also takes people to volunteer and advocate. Funeral professionals have to get out there and advocate and spend their own time to make these changes happen. And I just don't know if people will do that. I would urge owners and managers to sit down and review specifically who is completing each task within their company. Make a list of which tasks require a licensed person and which tasks don't require a license. And then from there, you might choose to delegate some tasks to different employees than what are they're currently delegated to. And you just want to maximize the efficiency in your process so the entire load doesn't fall on one person.
Well, and to the you've got to increase the licensed productivity. And you can only do that by augmenting their staff with non-licensees to do the non-licensee work. Banny and I preach that. Just to close this off, I want to remind our audience that many of the old timers, or people we consider old timers today, are people who were, as first generation funeral directors, they were effectively invited in. Funeral director took an interest in a young man or woman in the community. They came in and mowed lawns, et cetera, and then decided they wanted to pursue this as a profession. And I don't think we're doing that much anymore. So that's one way of doing it. But the other thing that I've noticed, and I'm preaching, when funeral directors talk about recruiting, the conversation almost always goes to the long, unpredictable hours and the hard work and the low pay. And first of all, I would dispute both. This is not low pay anymore. It wasn't really to begin with, but EMS workers, policemen, and firemen start at much lower pay than funeral directors do. But the second part of it is, if you talk to people who have made a career out of this, they never talk about the long hours and low pay. They talk about the emotional, psychic rewards of working with people in the community. And we never talk about that when we're recruiting. And I really think that that's something that, as we're talking to young people about coming into the profession, and we should be doing that, we need to emphasize those psychic rewards. And I think sharing, you know, we get so many cards and letters thanking us for what we've done, that sharing those would be a way of doing recruiting. This is a very rewarding career, and especially now that the pay is scale has gone up, then I think we should be emphasizing that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, the pay scale has risen some, and also, I mean, I don't think you're going to hire a good qualified candidate if you can't offer benefits as well. So, I mean, healthcare and retirement plans, and you probably won't even get an interview scheduled if that's not listed as a benefit that you're offering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Danny, you got anything else?
No, I want to thank Cody for being on here today. I want you to, if you will, take just a moment and give your website address, any contact information you'd like to share with the listeners, and know that you are looked up to by a lot of people.
Yeah.
You said some things that are in this podcast. When you listen back, you're going to go, wow, I may actually be smarter than I think I am.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, Danny. Thank you guys for having me, Alan and Danny. I appreciate and enjoy your friendship as colleagues and friends. And you can visit our website at callawayjones.com. That's Callaway, C-A-L-L-A-W-A-Y, Jones.com. We are also on Facebook and Instagram. And you can email me if you'd like with any questions at cjones@callawayjones.com.
All right. Thank you, sir. We're very much indebted.
Well, Cody, this is Two Guys and a Question. I'm Danny Jefferson.
You can do it.
And we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.